Good morning, everyone. Clock on the wall says it's 9 o'clock. We're a little bit over 9 o'clock. We apologize, but we thank everyone who's here this morning. Looks like our microphone isn't working either. So as you can tell, last week our alarm system wasn't working. This week it looks like our lights aren't working. Although I'm convinced the elders wanted to put the spotlight on me this morning. Apparently we're starting to figure out that it looks like it might be some kind of electrical problem that we're having here at the building. So bear with us, we're figuring it out. At least these lights are on, and you can be able to see your scripture as we study this morning. So I'm going to try to speak as loudly as I can with my squeaky voice. So if anyone has any trouble hearing or understanding me, just please raise your hand, let me know, and I won't mind repeating it again so that we can all be able to learn from our God's Word. If you do have any cell phones or any kind of electronic equipment, if you can turn them off or put them on silent so that they won't cause any more disruptions this morning. Again, we apologize that we're going through these difficulties, but we'll get through them. You know, we'll get through these hurdles, and these things only make us stronger. To the men, just make a quick note to kind of give you guys a teachable moment. This is why it's good to always put on paper whatever it is that you prepare to study, because technology eventually will fail you. And the old ways of pen and paper will always prevail. So if you will, please bow with me in prayer as we begin our day of worship with our Bible study. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and our beloved God, we once more come before Thy throne of grace, grateful with Thee for the many blessings that Thou have poured upon us, and for the opportunity, Lord, that we have to serve Thee, Father, in spirit and in truth. As we begin this day of worship, Lord, we are grateful, for we know that Thou have granted us the life and the health to be able, Lord, to arrive into this building and to assemble as Thy saints, as Thy Son's church. And we, Father, ask that as we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, that it may be approved, acceptable, and holy in Thy sight. For those who are brethren, Lord, who have that zeal, that desire of wanting to be here, but because of their health or unforeseen circumstances will not be able to join us this morning, please be with them, Father. Please put Thy hand upon them. If it be Thy will, allow them to be able, Lord, to join us in the next allotted time. For those who are teaching Thy word this morning, Lord, grant us that ready recall of what we've been able to learn, what we've been able to process. And Father, grant us the strength to be able to apply it into our daily living, first off. But secondly, Lord, that we may be able to share it, Lord, with those who are ready and willing to learn from Thy sacred word. Father, be with those who are teaching throughout the world, who are also, Father, following Thy commandment and worshiping Thee on this first day of the week. And Lord, that Thy name may be praised forevermore. Forgive us when we have sinned. Forgive us when we have failed Thee. As we pray this in the precious name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we can use this definitely as an opportunity to see what it is that we have been learning. What have we been seeing last week? Which of the seven stages of apostasy, or the seven warnings, the seven alarms found in the letter written to the Hebrews, are we on right now? I'm sorry? Defying. Very good. The warning, or rather the danger of defying the word. What makes defiance so dangerous? Remember that defiance is the sixth penultimate warning found in the letter to the Hebrews, meaning that right after this one comes the worst one of all. But before we get to that worst one, well, this one's pretty terrible, isn't it? Because it's not that we are being disobedient. It's not that we are being we're hard to learn. It's not that we are ignorant. What does it imply? We're rebellious, or perhaps beyond rebellious, right? We not only flat refuse it, which is where rebelliousness would imply, but now we're becoming adversaries, aren't we? Because instead of just rebelling, what we're doing is we're openly going against the command itself. Now, who's the example that is given to us to remember this as a warning of who did exactly that? Who is the example provided as someone who was bitter and as someone who had that defiant spirit in him?
Esau.
Esau, very good. And what were some of the examples that we saw in our study last week where we see Esau's defiant spirit? What did he do? He married foreign wives, remember? He knew that his grandfather had sent for his mother because he did not want his son, Isaac, to take women from the land of Canaan. Keep in mind that when Jacob and Esau were born and were growing up, Abraham was still around. Abraham was still around. He was still around for several years. We don't know how long he was around for them, but we do know that he was around because he did have a long life, didn't he? So Abraham, without a doubt, taught his grandchildren these things about how God had took him out of the land where his fathers were, how he did not allow his own son, their father, to marry from the women from that land because God had promised them that land. He, without a doubt, had spoken to them about Sodom and Gomorrah and how God destroyed those lands of the valley. And we're sure without doubt that they were aware of God's promise that the lineage of Christ would come from them, yes? So Esau and Jacob, whether it was Abraham himself or Isaac as the father, had been taught about this. They had learned about this. We know this. And yet Esau takes from the land women of Canaan. And then we see the scripture tells us that these women were a grief of spirit for Rebekah and Isaac, excuse me. But his defiance doesn't stop there, does it? What else did Esau do aside from marrying women from the land of Canaan? How did Esau approach his birthright? He gave it up? Well, that's gentle and that's kind. He didn't give it up. He didn't sell it. What does Scripture say he did with it? He despised it. You see, we got to use the words that God uses. God says there in Hebrews 12 that he despised. In selling it, we could say that he had been bamboozled. We could say that he had been tricked by Jacob. But we don't see Jacob tricking him, do we? Jacob simply posed.